The Dumbfellas Podcast was recorded live at the Brown Bear Pub at 104 Harrison Avenue in West Orange, New Jersey. Our theme song is Root Beer Station, used with permission by the band Dancer. For more information on them, just go to www.dancer.bandcamp.com. For more information on the Dumbfellas, just go to facebook.com/dumbfellas.
There he is.
Recording the... Oh, it's the Dumbfellas Podcast. Sorry, I got confused. And I am your host, Natty Bumpercar, and I'm going to be talking the entire time this episode because I annoyed everyone so much in the last episode that they all left me to go eat wings here at the Brown Bear Pub. All 16?
Yeah.
Well, that's weird because we've recorded 17. So one of them you loved.
No, there was one that were really good. There was one that you were really good.
Joe, don't stoop to his level. Oh. All right, we're going to contact his sponsor, and we're going to get him back into a facility, and Natty can get his life back together.
Yeah. I am joined this beautiful evening by beautiful... what's your name? Kevin Patrick Burke, and who's going to have a website probably by the time
this
comes out.
Kill a Punchline.
What's funny, hello, first of all, happy to be here. And then the Kill a Punchline thing we can talk about later, but that's a great, annoying joke made by our dear friend Joe Fernandez.
Oh, Joe Fernandez from the All in Our Heads podcast?
He's my spirit animal.
I do think Joe's one of my favorite comics.
I think he's my spirit animal. There's things that he says, and I'm like, yeah. That is so smart. Yes, I do that.
He's got good words. And who are you who's talking?
Hi, this is Joseph Thomas Carney.
Oh.
How is everybody doing tonight?
Wait, your middle name is Thomas?
Thomas, JT. Well, at work, no, we're going to do the nickname one. We'll do that on the next episode. But
we got to have a Big Rich from Jersey here for that one.
Don't you hate it when people give themselves their own nicknames?
At work, I'm JFC, Joe fucking Carney. But, yeah.
Really?
It's on everything I own. Everybody writes it, and that's what they call me at work, Joe fucking Carney.
But that's not your name. Does that confuse you?
I don't know. Somebody thought it was Francis because they see JFC everywhere. I'm like, no, man. They just write Joe fucking Carney.
This is why we were supposed to be friends, because that was H.T. Effin Burke was what they used to write on my stuff in the Navy.
Wait, what is H.T.?
Hull Technician. Well, my rate in the Navy was Hull Maintenance Technician, so it'd be H.T. Uh-huh. So. When I was when you go into the Navy, I started as an E3, which is a fireman, right? So that was
You were a fireman?
Hull technician, fireman. Kevin Burke. That was my designation when I first got on board the USS Carney.
More fun than when they blow a fire alarm, and you pretty much have full reign to blow over anybody who's in your way when that happens.
It is kind of fun. I mean, we were in the at sea fire party, which was cool. But all my stuff, it would always say HTFN Burke, so they would call me HT fucking Burke. So this is why me and Joe Carney, my ship was the USS Carney. This is why Joe and I were supposed to be friends.
Really, if you guys have one more of these connections, you're officially married. I'm so excited for
I'm
you.
I'm okay with it. I could do a lot worse.
Yeah. I was in the pool yesterday, and there was this
swimming pool.
New kid who was playing with my kid, and my kid's going into kindergarten next year, and there was another kid who was in kindergarten. And I went to introduce myself to his dad, we were all in the pool together, right? And I went, oh, hey, my name's Natty. And he goes, oh, you're that comedian.
And the kid said that?
No, the dad.
Oh, the dad said that.
Oh, you're that comedian, is what he said. And I went, huh? And he's like, yeah, I saw one of your shows. And I was just like, oh.
Everybody who talks to you has that voice. Yeah, so what are your shows?
Because like everyone hates me. Because everyone hates me.
I'll say his name. He is the retired chief of the West Orange Fire Department, Mr. Pat Curry. He was at Tierney's. I know we're going to talk about that. And he was there. He comes to see a lot of the shows. So this is funny. I meant to tell you two things about your name.
Uh-huh.
One, when I tell my truck, because I got a really cool truck, I'll push the call button. I'll say, call Natty Bumper Car.
Uh-huh.
And my phone goes, calling Natty Bumperger. So you're the Bumperger
to my
kids. And then... Pat Curry asked me, who's going to be on the show at Tierney's? Because I knew he was coming. And I rattled off everyone. I said, Natty Bumpercar. He goes, I love her. My God, I love her. She performs with you guys a lot. And I didn't have the heart. He was so into it. It's like he knew you understand?
Yeah.
He put the name. He connected the name to everything we do.
Does he think I'm Jackie Byrne?
He must.
Oh, that's phenomenal. There's no one I'd rather be than Jackie
must.
Byrne.
I didn't ask him who he thought it was at the end of the night, but he's like, oh, that Natty really is funny, man. Yeah, so you have a lot of fans, bro.
I mean, I'm cute,
KP
huh?
and I are two of them.
But no, but then he said, after he said, you're that comedian, I went, yeah, and he's like, yeah, I saw one of your shows, and then he, like, floated away. And that was the end of the conversation. And I just kind of stood there and I was very
Burke. Don't you want to interview him?
I was very Burke about it, where I was just like, hey,
Wait, what?
That's what you do sometimes.
Yeah, that's that's your ironic thing. Yeah, like if it's over and done with and you can't get it back, you go,
hey, guys.
For in personal conversation?
I don't know. No, I've like never had one with you.
Something happens that you weren't expecting or something that you were expecting to happen didn't happen, I'll say, my God, are you all right? Were you upset? And you go,
That part's true. All right, I understand it now. Now it's in context.
Thank you. Now, have you ever spoken to KP on the phone?
Yes, we talk pretty.
But how does he hang up with you?
Kisses.
Really? With me, it's mid-sentence, just hangs up the phone, and I'm left wondering what happened.
I don't think he's ever said anything other than kisses.
Kisses.
Goodbye, buddy. See you soon. Kisses, and he hangs up.
I have been in my car with my family, and he'll say that, and I have to respond, and my kids are like, who did you just say that?
Kiss? Yeah.
Yeah. So, is that mommy? No.
The backstory of that one was that one of my good friends in high school was dating one of the most beautiful girls in our entire high school. And we were all very jealous of that until one day I was in a class with her and my buddy Matt had to walk up to the class with her because he would walk her to all of her classes, right?
Uh-huh.
And he would sit there and he's walking up and he's holding her books and he hands the books to her and she goes, okay, so I'll see you later, right? And he's like, yeah. And she goes, and then he goes to walk it and she goes, kisses. And makes him in front of everybody and they have to like rub noses and kiss him. And I just sat there, I was like, that's not worth as hot as that girl is, that's not worth the price to pay, the shame that comes with that.
Oh, my God.
Really?
So I just started turning it in. Anytime we would talk to him, I'm like, all right, Matt, kisses.
Really? That's where the etymology?
Oh, yes. That's where it all started with that stuff. And I've kept it. And my favorite is when sometimes people, I love the responses, too, because Joe, I mean, you play off of it really well. Rich usually groans whenever I do it to him.
Can I guess Kevin Garifo's? Does he just, he is so incredibly... I don't want to say he's homophobic, like he doesn't like homosexual people, but he just is so uncomfortable about it. Like when we went to AC for Rich's bachelor party, and that's a whole other story. This is just a snippet of it. But there was a bed, and he and I were going to stay in it, and he could not have been more uncomfortable to the point where he passed out in the bed, but he was still so uncomfortable that I just slept on the floor. I didn't want to even deal with it. Like, I was just like, what are we doing? And I have my toenails painted right now because I'm awesome.
Still?
And yeah. Well, some of them are
chipping
off.
No, still the same blue or you did it again?
Same blue. I need to get it done again because they're chipping off. I'm going to the beach soon. Got to show them toesies off. But anyway, Grifo saw my toes and he was just like,
But I don't understand. Anybody else that doesn't know you can do that. We know you.
Yeah.
What did I say? You walked in and said, are your toes blue? And you went, yeah. And I went, okay.
Yeah, because it just makes sense.
You're natty, and it makes sense.
It just makes
if
sense.
I would, well, let me ask you this: if I had on flip flops and my toes were painted, wouldn't you think something was wrong with me? I'm not you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you be like, huh?
It's off brand for you.
It's off brand.
Off brand. Yeah.
I would say it'd be something. Maybe I'd assume it was something funny you did to make your kids laugh or something.
Okay.
You know, like
I would assume he was like at a pep rally and he was crazy dad.
That
like,
guy.
Look at me, everybody. I'm JoJo.
You don't realize how uncool you are until your kids get old enough to tell you how uncool you are, man. My kid learned that, I don't know if my wife did this or whatever, but my son learned that while I'm telling a story, he just goes, dun, 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 dun. He does Glory Days by Bruce Springsteen while I'm telling a story. And I'm like, you ever have a feeling of pride and hatred at the exact same moment, like where you want to punch somebody and hug them and tell them, I'm so glad you're mine?
It's quality ball busting.
Yeah,
it
really good.
Is, man.
It's really good.
It is so, and he sends me this stuff. I'm like, I don't do that. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I did.
Oh, can I tell you the worst thing I did to my kid? It was this weekend.
When your kids dunk on you guys, don't just sit there and be like, oh, yeah, well, I fucked your mother.
No, but I'm going to. Thank you.
That's,
you know, my kid thought it was a funny thing to say to me the other night? Your mother. I was joking around when he goes, yeah, your mother. And I was like, that's your grandmother? Are you out of your ever-loving mind? You don't say that to me. You don't say your mother to me. He was kidding. We were playing.
Yeah,
but he had
but
no
still.
Comeback. He went, oh, whatever, your mother.
Oh.
And I went, what?
Did
he's
you,
like,
you should have been like,
Dad.
I'm going to call her right now.
Yeah,
she'll
wanna,
be here in five minutes.
You want to talk to Natty? What do you think
face?
My mother would say, Natty?
Oh, Joseph. How did you raise such
Hello,
a
Joseph.
Child?
Your father just told me that you had something to say to me. You beckoned his mother.
Oh, my goodness. That makes me uncomfortable. I'm actually wiping the table because I'm so nervous with that. What just happened?
Hello, keep wiping, by the way, because... on the topic of Grifo being uncomfortable,
uh-huh.
Oh,
I swear this is respectful. All right, I'm not going to make anybody uncomfortable with this. because the person that I'm going to describe in the story might, there's the potential for them to listen.
Oh, ooh, a listener.
You guys are all quality improvers, right? Mm-hmm. You guys can do improv.
Thank you.
I've never done it before.
And?
That is no longer a true statement. I did improv for the first time.
Oh.
At UCB East.
Wait, really?
When?
Yes. Last Thursday.
Good for you, bro.
I'm so mad at you.
So what I did is I picked up Garifo here at the old Brown Bear, right? And I picked him up.
104 Harrison Avenue in beautiful West Orange, New Jersey.
Great wings. We're enjoying some micro brews right now. It's pretty great.
I like it.
I haven't sang my rosé song, and I'm not gonna neither.
Do not do it. Get to. I'm gonna
not
hear this story.
That money
so,
comes in.
I know we have to talk about Tierney's as well from Bump's Big Night, but I just this is such a weird story. If I don't get it out, it'll never get out.
Do you know you can say it UC Beast?
Can I?
Yeah.
Is that allowed? Because it was my first time there. So what we did is we went to New York Comedy Club first to try to hang out with a couple people I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having their roast battle that night.
Ooh.
So Kevin and I walked in, and it was hilarious because Kevin, I bring him from West Orange to Manhattan, right? And we're out there hanging out. It's one of my favorite things. I won't say what comic it was, but it was a comic friend of ours that was on the show that night. And he goes, comes up to me afterwards. He goes, hey, who's that comic that you're with? Because he didn't remember Kevin.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's Kevin Garifo. And he goes, Shining Wizards Kevin.
Shut up.
And it was like, yeah, and I realized what it was. He had done the podcast. He had called in as a guest for them because he's a friend of Lucidity's.
Oh, okay.
So, now, that's not the weirdest part. The weirdest part comes later. But the next part is that as the early show is getting out of New York Comedy Club before Roast Battle starts, someone walks by us, and we don't know anybody. I'm just hanging out with the comics. Kevin and I both feel very awkward. Someone goes, Garifo? And it was a regular at the Hat.
Shut up.
Was at the show with his wife. And now all of a sudden, Garifo was talking about the Hat. And he brought the Hat with him from West Orange.
He transported awesome, West Orange to the city.
It was
such
amazing.
An enigma. He's such a person that you just don't know. Like you're just saying, it's a perfect description. You hang out with him and the things that happen and you listen to and hear, it's like, why don't we know this? You know what I mean?
The people he has pull with, too. It's always weird.
Guys at work, they're like, oh, yeah, Joey, all the West Orange guys. Pat Curry, I was talking about him in the last episode, fireman. He's like, I know your buddy Garifo. I'm like, of course you do. Of course you do.
He should run for mayor. He really should.
Oh, he would be a great mayor. Isn't that why he's in public office?
I do believe that's the reason it started. Now, this is where you guys are going to think this left turn is being made up by me.
Ah, swerve.
But so we go from New York Comedy Club to UC Beast.
Mm-hmm. You can say that.
Whatever, don't say that.
So we walk in, and it's a guy I know from Cape Fear, who's a really good dude, right? And he has me...
Hello,
Cape
counselor.
Yes.
Hello, counselor.
Where? come out wherever you are. I wish the audiences did. For that festival. I had a good time at the festival I did. But this guy, Boris, I made good friends with earlier. He's a good dude.
Boris Kalkin?
Yeah.
I know him.
I love that guy. So he puts me on a show. The theme of the show is it's three comedians, three stand-up comics, and then an improv troupe. And the improv troupe does long form, right? And then the three comics go up, and then the improv guys try stand-up, and then the comedians all have to do a scene.
Oh, wow.
So Kev comes with me to that one. And Kev is being hilarious because I have two free drink tickets for the show, and I just gave them to Kevin because I was trying not to drink that night.
Yeah.
And so we go back to the green room, and I'm sitting like, oh, cool, at least I'll have other comics to do improv with for the first time. That'll make me a little bit more at ease with this because I do have respect for how you guys do it. I can't do it. I'm very diligent with being prepared. And I can't wing it.
When
like
you
that.
Nail it, brother, the freedom that you'll feel, you'll get there. Go
I had a good time
KP,
doing
I saw
it.
You wing it just tonight.
That's
you had a whole plate of them.
Bumper face.
Tips.
So, anyway, but in the green room, Boris introduces us to the people, and it's a female comic from Milwaukee.
Did he say, "Get me Moose and Squirtle"?
You'd love this guy too. He's straight up Central Jersey dude. So he doesn't play into that Brooklyn shit or anything. But he introduces me to the two other comics I'm going to be doing the scene with. One of them is a chick from Cape Fear that I had met that was, you know, we didn't hit it off, but whatever. There's some people you don't hit it off with. That's fine.
Aww.
So I'm a little bit nervous about it, and then they introduce me to the other comic, and I'm being respectful here. Like 6'2", transgender male to a female, right? So it's an NBA center in a sundress.
All right.
All right.
Boner.
Very nice person, right? Entire set is about, the nighttime activities that can come in when you're a particular category you can be searched for on Craigslist, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So
Like, what are they? Like, what? Are,
I mean, well, I mean, we can just move on. We don't have to talk about it.
But that, so if that's
it,
my experience, when you look at improv the way that I do, that then my first time ever doing improv is on stage with a chick I don't really like, and then
another one you're kind of attracted to,
and then a transgender, male to female, who's pretty cool. Like, I enjoy. Like, we had a good time doing. Yeah. But then you're doing the scene, and you just realize you just go off of instincts, and there's nothing there, and then the crowd responded to it, which was pretty cool.
Ooh.
So we did long form Herald or whatever it is.
Yeah, the Herald.
And the thing they gave us for the hint was taxes or whatever. And I had to fight every instinct in my body to not make it about what was obvious on the stage.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So hard.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, it was an interesting experience, and not being in control is sometimes relieving.
Yeah.
But I finally did improv, and I had the most New York experience possible. As I'm driving, now Garifo had to hang out in the back green room with the other comics while I was up on stage doing my set. And then I came back there, and I was like, oh, my friend Kevin, he left.
Wait, he just bailed?
He couldn't
he went out
room.
To the bar, and then he was like hanging out at the bar or whatever.
Yeah. But,
so he's a gem. On the ride home through Midtown, we saw a car burglary being attempted.
What?
And NYPD showed up and literally tasered a dude on the ground in front of us. And we had to stop at the red light. And there's like five patrol cars zipping past to try to catch the other. It was the weirdest night we had ever had.
I was not expecting that.
No, that's a weird end.
No. And we also saw the reason we couldn't park in front of New York Comic Con was because a drunk driver crashed onto the sidewalk and hit two people.
Oh, my God.
Wait, that's terrible.
What? And the next day, Garifo was printing out the police report from the thing because he found it on CBS.com or whatever it was.
All right.
So he sent me the news report about the whole art. It was just one of those baffling nights, man. But Kevin Garifo, he's so numb to weird experiences like that because he's like, oh, yeah, I've hung out with Scott Stevens and gotten drunk with him at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, I've done coke with Aubrey Plaza. Like, Kevin has the greatest stories ever.
How did you like the...
Both of those are real.
What?
He did coke with Aubrey Plaza one night.
That's awesome.
I don't want to think of Kevin Joseph Griso sullying his little nose like that. I can't
sully
imagine
that image.
That's probably
no
made
pun
up.
Pun intended. He did a bump.
I did. Ah. So I did. I like that you guys did UCB. When I was done with what I could do at the New Jersey School of Dramatic Arts for my improv, I went to the Magnet School and I took intensive with Armando Diaz. Right. And it was pretty damn cool. And now I'm trying to show him my improv chops, but it's mostly long form. I don't like long form even a little bit. But I figured
I would love you and Rich to try it one time.
If I could do
though.
Long form, I could probably help my short form. So that was my thing. So I went in for it was 1 month. It was 2 days a week for a month. For this entire month, I had laryngitis. I sounded like Harvey Fierstein for a month.
Really?
Every scene that I did, every act that I did. Now, I sounded like this. We graduate, and they have in the theater, they invite everybody to come to the show. Now, he doesn't know that that is my laryngitis voice, and I do the scenes with my regular voice, and I'm doing... He thought that I was able to turn that off and do this as an impersonation. I was like, oh, thank you. Yeah, no, yeah.
That's kind of heartbreaking in a weird way. It's... Yeah.
Ma wants to know if you want to go stay with her for a while. I love Harvey Fierstein.
Didn't you do you were in some Hairspray or something?
Yes, I was Edna, and for the first two rehearsals, I tried to do Harvey Fierstein.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, nah, I'm just going to do My Mother Meets Edith Bunker, and that's who my wife. Oh, it was more, a little bit flighty. This was my Edna. Oh, oh dear.
That's pleasant, though.
Yeah.
It's very nice.
I'm just very happy you didn't just do straight-up Travolta for it.
Yeah, no, I couldn't.
Hey, Mr. Cotter, what are you doing? I'm like a chicken. I love my body. You know what I'm saying?
Straight-up Travolta as Edna.
Ed Reno.
Wait, is that
so
from Hairspray?
We had a good show last weekend. I don't know if the world knows about that.
Oh, the big show.
Yeah.
The big show.
We're not in Haunted Tierney's anymore. We're back home.
No, we're back at the Brown Bear. And that was a fun night. And the feedback that I got was that there need to be more, just we need to have a dumb fellas show. That was what I heard.
Rich and I said the same thing.
And even if we do something where it's all five of us on the stage
almost
at the
like
same time.
Jokers.
Yeah, kind of. I didn't
want to say that, but it's just, people would think it if they saw it anyway.
And then we kind of like, people step up, do their bits, and then we knock on the bits and riff off each other.
Okay, so I had an idea that I'd love to talk to you about. It's almost like, if you follow me, it is like Impractical Jokers meets the Rat Pack.
Oh.
And Dean and Frank and Sammy and Joey Bishop, they were all on the stage, and they would say something, and then the rest of the crew would rip on them.
Yeah, 100% like that. 100%. We'd have to do that.
Deconstruct our joke.
But people would have to be okay with being on stage in front of people and having that happen.
Yeah. Also, is there an outlet for Garifo to charge his phone from the stage?
I say all five of us sit there on bar stools with a guitar like the Eagles. People are just waiting for us to do something like the old Brett Druck. Bro, I had so much fun at Tierney's, but I got messed up.
Why? Wait, no, let me think. What was the order of the show?
Okay.
We had Donna V hosting from Bloomfield.
If you're listening, Donna, I want to bang you.
And I was on Donna V's show, her podcast with Tracy Locke. It's called Girls Gone Green.
Tracy, if you're listening, I want to bang you.
And they were amazing and super fun.
Nobody's
and I
listening.
Thank them for having. No, they
I'm just
get.
Kidding.
They eclipse
sure,
us.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. But we had Donna V hosting, and then I feel like the first comedian after the host was Mr. Kevin Garifo? Yes.
Who, if he's listening, I would also bang. Yeah, Garifo started that one off.
Then Doug Max knocked it out of the park.
And then we moved on to Doug Max, who decided to...
Holocaust jokes like it was real.
Yeah, it was... Well, no, wait a minute. I didn't want to step on it, but oh boy. Doug Max, who has a podcast, I guess it's a podcast or is it an internet radio show? Is there a difference?
It's called Holocaust Talk. And,
it's
what?
Not, though. It's not the name of the show.
What? I do a show.
Oh my God, did you just.
It's mostly on the Holocaust. We talk about funny stories about the Holocaust.
It's not that.
We're
going
to go to the Holocaust line.
8.6 million reasons to laugh.
Jeez.
I can't believe it.
Huh?
That was.
I.
He came up with a number. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, yeah. He watches a lot of History Channel, I'm assuming. Then we went to Miss Christine Grillon.
Yeah.
And then...
Christine, if you're listening, I have too much respect for you to bang you.
Ooh, I think I just caught that fly.
I'm married.
I did not catch that fly. And then rounding out the first half of the show was Big Rich from Jersey. And we would be remiss if we did not mention that a lot of the show was built around Rich's mom. Like, a lot.
Yes.
Yeah, like, well, who, if she's listening.
Look who has a running gag.
You would
it.
Do it again?
The You have been doing improv, haven't you? Oh, my God.
Yes, and Natty.
And then we did
if you ever do improv with Natty, it's no war.
Oh, then there was the worst thing ever. There was something called Free Stuff with some people who
God
should not have been on stage.
Joe Fernandez came up with Natty Spirit Animal.
Oh.
What was the sperm whale's name?
Spermy the Whale.
Spermy
it
the
was
Whale.
So not.
If you guys don't know,
nice.
Natty does some of his humor, not all of it, but at some point in the show, he has a friend whose pig is hand puppet.
Hey, what are you talking about?
Yeah, oh, pig, I didn't realize you were here. I'm sorry.
Hey, buddy, what are you doing?
How are you? I thought you were in the sound booth tonight.
Are you doing a ketosis, I heard, huh?
Ketosis,
you're
yeah,
looking good, looking trim, looking fit.
Thank you, buddy.
Fit, huh?
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm going to head out, but it was good talking.
All right. Yeah, it's good talking.
Good
you
looking
could stay.
Out. Huh?
You could stay.
I'm going to stick around.
What did you, can I ask you?
Yeah.
Buddy, what did you think? I know you were there that night.
I was hanging out at the bar.
What did you think of Spermy the Whale?
He was very uncomfortable. He's very.
It was uncomfortable, but what did you think about from not a point, a standpoint of not knowing that it was coming?
I don't understand. What do
were
you mean?
Were you surprised? Did you find it funny?
I was bowled over. Yeah. You know, and I, of course, I'm a pig who gets around in the humor circuit, so I understand jokes and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I was a little bit taken aback, I would say. I thought it was
going to
be a...
I thought we were going to lose K.P. Burke. I thought he was going to die. I thought his heart was going to explode. He was three shades of red. He laughed silently. He was laughing so hard.
He was hyperventilating.
His nose was flaring.
Really?
It was pretty great. I enjoyed it because, Natty, I hope you realize this. We love you.
Hold
on a second.
That's
why these things are funny for us.
Get back in here, Bumps.
What do you? What's that?
I didn't realize that Natty even left the room. See, we're all doing this from booths like at WFAN where we can't actually see each other.
Yeah. No, Natty's back.
I'm back. There was a pig just stopped in.
That was funny.
He heard somebody talking.
Oh, how's he doing? I heard that he's Artie Lang's sponsor. Is that true?
Not true at all. No. So you guys are talking about that whale?
Yes, yeah, Spermy the Whale. I thought it was funny. He handed out the free stuff to.
I heard he krilled.
For those who don't know, the character was a
fault.
Pocket.
I did this.
Yeah. The character was a sock, though. It was Fernandez's own sock.
Oh, he just took it off and drew it?
No, he then had to put back on after he was done.
Oh, he did?
Oh, yeah.
He thought of that
Wait,
there?
Really?
That's when he wasn't going to do any. He almost didn't come that night, but he wanted to come hang
oh,
out.
Oh, he came all over the stage.
So I got to say, like, there were so many people at the show just to see the people came to see comedy, but then there were so many comedians who came out. Like, it made me so happy and sad.
You got to learn...
Time.
and I thought, I think that you did, and I shouldn't say you got to learn because I know you do. You're surrounded by people who don't
like
have
me.
You're surrounded by people who don't have the same appreciation for clean humor as you, but they still love you. You know what I mean? Like the people that are filthy love you just the same. You know, you got to appreciate it.
I do.
Also, our kind of little cruise dynamic is people like it. Because it's we're clearly always having fun.
We're always
are we?
But well, we're always kind of having fun. So when that happens, people want to be a part of it.
I got upset
so that's why
because
they
got yeah.
Well,
yeah.
So Joe. So after free stuff with Jackie Byrne, and you know who wasn't there? Jay, which Jackie doesn't usually go out without Jay. And I thought Jay was my friend, but evidently he's not. Jay Byrne.
No, he is not a fan.
Jay Byrne.
I assume his name
What's up, Jay Byrne?
Jay Byrne. Jay Byrne.
That's his nickname. What's up, Jay Byrne?
Jay Byrne. But then after Jay, I mean Jackie at free stuff, it was.
Yeah, I didn't start.
Oh,
off
it was you.
It was me. Yeah,
and you, I mean, you did fine.
Yeah, I'm not even gonna play this game. I'm going to my friend here. Give me an honest
KP
assessment of my set that night.
Huh? Oh no, your set. Okay, hang on, because we didn't even set the table yet on the one weird thing.
Okay, I'll tell
with
you.
Rich's mom.
Yeah.
Okay, so Natty started. So Rich's mom has a cackle of a laugh.
She
I know
goes
both
like this.
Of you.
I'm gonna pull from the mic, but she goes.
That's so, really good.
So almost everybody had to play with that up front.
Yep.
And then when you're coming back from free stuff, which was such a weird, goofy thing.
It was so fun.
No one else is going to cover the fact, too, that a puppet won free stuff.
Oh, I forgot about that.
So, yeah, a puppet won free stuff from another puppet.
Oh, my God, you're right, bro. I forgot about that.
They were good for it now, brother.
Thank you.
But it got weird because the puppet, like, the guy just went up there and nobody acknowledged it or whatever. So it's a bizarre setting already.
Yeah.
Then Joe goes up there. And it's always a weird start from free stuff back into comedy because comedy should never have an intermission, grill on. You hear me?
No, it should. It's
great. Almost like a start over. Yeah, it's like the reopener.
But what it does is it gives the person who's after free stuff a sweet spot because the crowd is like, because sometimes the crowd's there. There's a lot of benefits, kind of not sleep, but they're mellow through the first part of it.
Mm-hmm.
And free stuff, you're punching them in the face, and then they're there for the two or three people after, including the headliner.
And then Joe is being present in the room to start. But then it's always the other side of that coin is that sometimes they're not fucking listening yet.
It just didn't hit. Like Natty said, I said, if you've
you
ever
went 90 seconds of weird and then reined it right back in and then closed.
I was just like, I just kept thinking, this is like if Gaston was in the NRA. This is like a, you know, Gaston from, that's what Tierney's looks like to me up there. It's like Gaston's place in Beauty and the Beast with the big antlers and the candles and everything. But yet it's surrounded by Bobby Sands.
Rapes like Gaston.
Oh my God.
Car bombs like Gaston. And I was like, that's what it reminded me of. And then I stared at people for like you said, about a minute and a half. And they're just like, I don't. And I was like, all right, move it on.
Yeah,
and I picked on the pregnant girl in the front.
What I said to KP was the same thing, because I do the same thing where sometimes I will get on stage and whatever's top of my brain and present in the room, I will throw out. And sometimes it sticks and then you just run from there. But sometimes it bounces off the wall and there's people just staring at the ball. And there was that. But then, like, what he just said, and it's the same thing I told you the day after when we talked, went right into material.
You had a line off of Rich, too, about the Spanish baby shower.
Yes. That's
I won't say what the joke is, I will say.
I like that one.
That one got a big pop out of the room. And then that was one my father talked about when I went home and I talked to him later on. So that was the impression that he got out of the entire evening.
Was that joke?
The entire evening, your dad, huh?
He tried giving a certain.
Subjective.
He tried giving a certain closer a standing ovation at the end and was told, stop.
What?
No.
Remember when Natty shit on his own momentum?
Hold on. Joe went, and then after that was KP, and you went up there and did some killer punchlines.
What an awful father. You don't even teach your kid to wipe his ass.
That was amazing.
And I should have just let it breathe, but then I was like, that's a joke. I Facebook Joe'd him.
Yeah, you
like,
did.
It was a joke.
It was in character, so I didn't mind it.
But how did you not respond to the text that I sent you last night?
Which one?
At the show when you asked me who was there.
Oh.
Anyway.
Well,
so
don't forget before he came up, I was prematurely lit by another comic, and I couldn't see
I
who it was.
Oh, I forgot
about
that part.
Ooh.
Yeah. I was going into my closer.
Donna was going to light you.
Yeah.
And she went up, and she didn't think you saw it, so she was going up again with the light. So anyone who doesn't know, but this is pretty basic comedy stuff, when your time is up on stage, usually with a minute to go in your set, someone will give you the...
I asked her to give me 2 minutes.
Sometimes,
it's
whatever the comic asks for. But the person who's usually hosting the show will put their phones up or whatever, get with a flashlight. So the comedian on the stage will see it. They'll give you a little wink, a little nod, whatever, any kind of acknowledgement that they've seen it. And then they know, all right, I got 2 minutes to wrap it up. And then they go to a joke that they know is that much time. So Donna went to give you the light, and you didn't see it. She wanted to do it again.
Yeah, I didn't know any of this.
And Sean Morton, a comedian, went over and, like, knocked her hand, and then it got really weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah, because I didn't know if it was real or not, because Donna ran away. Like, she ran away, and yeah. I was like, well, that's a joke. And then Sean Morton was standing there lighting me, and I was like, I said, what are you doing, you grimace-looking motherfucker? And then I got out of my rhythm, and then I was like, screw it, I'm going into my closer. And then I felt awful because I love Sean Morton.
He's a very
he didn't
nice.
Care about that.
I know, but I texted him, and I was like, brother, I should have never embarrassed you like that. And he got mad at me. He's like, why? I hate you for apologizing.
Aww.
Because Sean is a giant teddy bear, but he plays this character on Facebook.
Guy, yeah.
So it's a very weird. Also, the other weird thing is that Donna is, as much as we all love her, is she's not a veteran, so she doesn't know how to handle anything that deviates from the norm.
I understand when I saw her run away.
Oh,
why
yeah.
I thought it was a joke.
Yeah, that's why it's a goofy thing with that. Like, one time she was going over the set list at Tierney's, like the not the set list, but the order for the show.
Yeah.
And I grabbed the thing out of her hand and tore it up and threw it on the ground.
Oh, my God.
And she punched me, literally. And I was like, this is, you know, we don't need
that's
the
That's funny.
Like, it's still going to work. I just tore it in half. But Donna doesn't like when people get weird with stuff. So she shut down and she didn't come back and bail you out or explain it. She let Sean stand there because I was back by the sound booth when it happened. So they left you hanging, is what I'm saying.
Okay, I don't feel as bad. Thank you.
No, you didn't do anything
I think Trumbull sat in the back all night trying to think about how to get on stage and touch Donna's boob.
Oh, never mind.
It's, that was an, never mind, bump. Talk it out. Let's get John's Me Too moment out here.
No, I don't want to talk about it because it didn't happen, because nothing happened, because I have nothing to talk about.
What, Trumbull touched her bubby?
Mine. He went to hug me last night.
He licked Garifo's face.
He stepped on my brand new fucking Jordans.
Should we just change the name of this podcast to the Trumbull
podcast? Fucking Trumbull.
Podcast Trumbull time. So you did your closer and it went great and then you got off and it was fine, right?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
But it was confusion on the light.
Yeah, it was confusion on the light.
Then
I don't ever want people to think that I just ignore it.
No one knows who you're doing though, Joe.
Which
That's
is fine.
Problem.
And we don't have to talk about that either.
Because
we
know
want to be
I'm
friends
doing.
With everybody. Because we're a small, tight-knit community here in New
I'm
Jersey.
I'm doing Bill Cosby.
CKP. Oh. Anyway. Then who got up?
It was Kevin Patrick Burke who killed the room.
Did he?
He destroyed him. He murdered them.
I thought you did very well.
He did.
I had fun. I got yelled at for having too much fun.
Oh, my God. I watched it happen.
Yeah.
Kevin by Joseph
who?
Garifo lost his ever loving mind.
I was right. I was back by the
he
bar.
He was so angry.
So KP got up, and traditionally, the person who goes up before the closer doesn't do a ton of crowd work, right? In theory.
Is that okay? I mean,
well, no,
I don't know
because you're supposed to leave that lane open for the person who's closing the show a little bit, whatever. But KP worked the room, and he went through the different comedian sets, and he went through the crowd, and
yeah.
He was like, bing, bang. But like
he highlighted the evening.
100%.
Yep.
But which I don't care about at all because
I felt
so
terrible about so.
But I didn't. So I was back by the bar, yeah, well, and Garifo yeah. was losing his, and I wish he was here too.
So angry.
He was
He turned to me
so
and he goes,
angry.
You don't fucking blow up the closer like that. Oh, my God, you don't fucking do that. I'm going to fucking kill him. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, and he was looking at me
yeah.
with crazy eyes, Garifo. And
he stormed over
and
went
I had
to, behind
I gave
the bar.
Him a hug, and I was like, buddy, it's okay. I was just like, you know how my brain works. This just gives me more to work off of. Like, this plays right into what I want to do.
I also thought that you and me approach things from such drastically different angles that I wouldn't be saying anything that was taking away a punchline from
me.
And I appreciate your apology.
I understand why he was
upset. I appreciate your apology.
I'm
just
feel terrible.
Kidding. There's no way.
No, but Kevin, to me, when Kevin Garifo was losing his mind, all I could think of was, this is like a baseball purist. He was like a purist right there. It was like, this is how things work, and that's not how we're going to do it. And I was like,
designated
I was
hitter.
Yeah. Yeah. AstroTurf. I'm out.
National League. Who's that?
It was Blacks.
Well, I felt like I was taking away from Natty's big moment. And so when Natty told me it wasn't a big deal, I felt much better about it. Now, if you're burying that and you actually are furious, it'll haunt me the rest of my life.
No.
I don't even think it bothered
me. Didn't even faze me. That night was a little rough for me in general because we got there, KP and I, at 5 to set the room up, and it was phenomenally hot, and we were super sweaty, and I was super tired, and I'd been at the pool.
I offered you my shirt, Kevin.
Yeah, he did. several times. Yeah, several times. I'd been at the pool for several hours, and then we got there, set the room up, and then we recorded 2 episodes of the podcast, and I was just like, I help at Tierney's, like, I guess I don't produce it, but I help Pat as far as setting everything up, getting everything right, making sure everything is easy for her, and I just had a lot on my brain, and so, like, I was sad because I don't feel like I got to enjoy the night as far as it being my first time closing there.
All 12 shots later, he didn't enjoy the night.
I did a lot of shots, but it was good.
You know who enjoyed the night?
Who?
The crowd. That was one of the... My parents have been coming to Tierney's for, I guess, 5 years now, and they said that was the best night of Tierney's they ever went to.
It had a different energy.
Because it was the boys messing around in the back. That adds something to it.
It does.
Because when you play to the back of the room, Joe had a couple of lines. Rich had one or two lines where he would acknowledge the back of the room.
I think one, but yeah.
Yeah. It's a, and then, but that's when it gets fun, because then you can hear the Garifo laugh in the back. Everything adds to something. So when we're having fun, that's one of the best shows I've ever been a part of was in the abandoned restaurant in Atlantic City. The abandoned casino down in Atlantic City. That McDonald and Carney headlined.
Ooh, yeah.
It was like a Scooby-Doo episode, wasn't it?
It was crazy.
Why was it like a Scooby-Doo episode, Joe?
It was a bus full of people drinking, going to an abandoned, haunted hotel in a back room in the dark.
With no sign in front of the room.
Nothing. People walked. You know, I don't know if you know this. You know, like, 6 people couldn't find that? 6 people who came down on the bus missed the whole show?
100% I agree with it. I mean, I believe that. Because when I kind of split off from everybody when we got there and was just wandering around. And then I looked at the address on the flyer, and I was like, nope, there's no – this is abandoned.
Went out to the street. Why would you think you couldn't? Yeah, I would think the same thing. You couldn't, yeah. But the front was closed down.
Well, I mean, Atlantic City's – I mean, look, I don't want to smash that club or anything like that either, but Tierney's is our home away from home, I'd like to think.
I love – Tony's is my home court.
That's where I met all of you guys.
Tony's is my home court.
Well, it is, and you were closing – that was your first time closing that one, right?
That room, that was –
And after Garifo yelled at me, you went up and I thought had an awesome set.
Yep.
I thought it was okay.
He got his head on a couple of things because of people that were there, and he just didn't know how to work around it. And instead of just letting the funny flow, once or twice you could see that he was thinking about something rather than just...
Well said.
Doing a little thinking.
Now, you know how Joe and you guys were making fun of me earlier because when I have something that doesn't go my way, I just go, nah.
Yeah, yeah.
And I move on.
Yeah.
All right, so that's my way of handling that. Natty's way of handling that is actually it comes off arrogant.
Really?
So, yeah. This is an interesting thing with how people perceive you. Because I see it with a lot of people sometimes, that their defense mechanism is more repulsive than the behavior they're trying to defend against.
Wow.
Wait a minute. Talk to me.
Well, it's like you ever meet people that have severe social anxiety, so they come across arrogant?
Tonight on a very special episode of The Dumb Fellas.
Okay.
Arnold takes a bath in the bike store.
Well, that's what it'll be. You'll have somebody who has like terrible social anxiety. So they're like, oh, they're not going to look at you or anything like that. Or they're going to like, oh, yeah, that, you know, and try to downplay or whatever. It's because the conversation terrifies them more than, you know, the thing. So
what they're going
to
say.
Yeah, so you feel like they're being rude to you.
I need examples. Did I do that night?
Bumper card, this is where you did the example. And you're going to agree with me 1,000% too.
Okay.
That's why this is going to hurt a little bit. Bumper Car is such a humble guy that he felt like he didn't deserve to be closing a show, right?
Mm-hmm.
You fought this on yourself. You're like, oh, guys, don't do that. So when the crowd was erupting in applause when Natty was saying goodnight to everyone, my father stood up at the back table to start a standing ovation, what he hoped he would turn into a standing ovation for the headliner of that show, the closer, Natty Bumper Car, who had just done, 22 minutes?
I don't even know.
Are you telling... Oh, my God.
And
I don't
you get up there, sir, and as soon as my father, when the crowd tried to tell you they loved you, you said, shh,
oh my God.
Stop.
I thought you meant Pat said that you did that, you ass clown.
Huh?
I just remember, yeah, you made everybody sit down. I remember your father standing up.
And Natty wouldn't look at any of them. He stared down at his feet, and he goes, no.
You got hot ears right now? You got hot ears?
No. This is
Natty went full Nanette, all right? He went full Nanette, and he sat there. You went Hannah Gadsby on it, right? And you sat there and you decided, this is not a moment for comedy. This is a moment to preach from my pulpit. And you went ahead and you sat there and you said, no, no, guys, and stepped on your own applause and ruined your own big moment because you were afraid you weren't as good as we all know you are.
No, I got emotional at the end is what happened. I got sad and emotional. I almost started crying.
I know. And if you had just let it slide, it would have built into the moment. We would have given you the hero's exit you deserved.
If I don't stop talking during my set to let people react, why would I do it at the end?
Well, imagine if Bill Parcells, instead of taking the ride on his player's shoulders and getting the Gatorade bath, imagine if he screamed, no, and just ran off the stage.
He would be a hero.
Yeah, stage field. If he just, no, and just ran off. Yeah, that's what happened. We tried giving you the
coach
heroes.
Coach of the Patriots.
You
right?
had nothing left to say and said something. I'm just realizing.
Huh?
You had it was done. Your words were done, but you still found something to say to make people not clap.
No, my
like your brain can never shut up for
my
a second.
My funny words were done, but I wanted to thank Pat and the
so
room.
So you thank
and
people over the applause. Thank you so much for this. This was an awesome night. Thank you, Pat. Thank you, everybody. Oh, stop. Thank you. This is great.
No, my way to do it
this.
Is.
I'm so thankful.
Everybody stop talking.
No, stop. Shut up. Shut up.
Everybody shut up. I want to.
You self-sabotaged your moment in the sun because success terrifies you.
I don't know if that's true.
A place
I don't know because I don't feel like something that I'll never achieve will ever terrify me. Everyone. I would have to believe that I would ever have it.
It did happen. It just happened
remember.
At Tierney's.
And here's another interesting Stay quick goal, thing poem. Is
Stay goal.
The distinction between a closer and a headliner. I am a closer. I am not a headliner.
Oh, you hear that, guys? Natty's a closer now.
Let's do a Fanatti, man.
Well, I
Let's
close.
Do a Fanatti.
I've closed like three shows this year, four shows, but which doesn't mean I'm. That's what I
They're
am.
They're too stupid to applause in this town.
But do you know the distinction? I mean, what is the distinction to you between a closer and a headliner?
Someone who can close a room versus someone that's selling tickets.
Oh, that's interesting. Mm.
Okay, so
someone
let me
with
ask you this,
someone
though.
Who can close a show versus someone with credits.
But here's my thing, I agree with you 100%. But teach me this. This is not pomposity. I'm not coming at
no,
you like
relax. Ooh. All friends here.
No. For real. I'm asking you a question. Rich and I cannot do a show.
I know.
In 15 to 18 minutes, our shows have to be 45 minutes or it don't make sense. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, the people have to learn what improv is during the show.
Right, so we build them up. So first two, this and that, explain it, a little crowd banter. Would you consider that headliners or closers?
Well, in the example of the Atlantic City show, you guys were headliners because you sold all the fucking tickets for that one.
Gotcha.
And, I mean, so in a lot of the shows you guys do, you produce or Rich produces.
Right.
Same thing, so it's a ticket sale thing. So from that perspective, that makes sense. Hmm. Headliners.
Makes sense now because people ask me, what's the difference? And I just got a lesson right
well,
there.
Well, I don't know. I think I think that's one take on it. That's what I'm wondering.
That's
hey,
the
everyone
way comics
who's,
look at it.
Hey, everyone who's listening to the Dumb Fellas, all you comedians out there, why don't you respond to us and tell us what the difference to you is between a headliner
you know what
and
I have
a
to
closer.
Say to that?
Hey, Joseph, you have any shows coming up? This show's coming out on August the 16th, I believe.
August the 16th. I will be in Hoboken August the 22nd.
No joking. Thursday.
No joking. No joking Hoboken. Me and Big Rich McDonald will be doing the McDonald and Carney Comedy Hour Extravaganza Go Team Power Go.
Nice. Nice. What about you, Mr. Burr?
Full of anime.
I have nothing on those dates.
You have nothing?
I have nothing to plug for that set of... oh, actually, it's not too early to start plugging. Friend of the show, Joe Fernandez, is going to be at Uncle Vinny's. It's his first headlining week.
Nice.
Closing or headlining?
He is legitimately the headliner from Wednesday through Saturday.
Wait, really? That's
say
phenomenal.
Something, say something about the roast I put you on.
The roast we're going to do is going to be a lot of fun, too.
Monday night, September 10th. I know it's a weird night,
No, Monday's going to be a lot of fun with that one. Speaking of the roast, though, I am doing the main event for a roast battle. Formerly organized at the Stand, but now at the Soho Playhouse. Did you know that, Joe?
It's a Soho Playhouse?
I have such a great idea to end the show if you let me do this. I think you'll enjoy it.
Okay. I got to do my little credits, and then you can do it?
Yeah, go ahead. Do your credits, and you're going to like this.
Point is, main event of the roast battle, you guys can all humiliate me next week when I lose.
I cannot wait for you to lose. So, again, I think I mentioned it on the last show, but I am on a Survivor comedy competition, Outwit, Outplay, Outlaugh, Episode 1, New Beginnings on August 28th at the Tank. That's on West 36th Street in New York, New York. You should come see me because there's going to be a lot of fun there and a lot of other shows.
Nanny, can you humor me for a second? I think you're going to enjoy this.
I can humor
you. Kevin Patrick, we learned today that you you learned some improv skills. You took some courses and you did some improving, right? At the UCB, right?
Indeed.
And you are going to be headlining a roast battle, correct? Which you are very, very good at. I want you to combine both of your skills, and I want you to roast Natty quickly and me to take the show out.
Oh. All right, I need one word to get started. Faggot? I got it. All right, good.
Pencil sharpener.
Pencil sharpener. Looks like Natty needs a pencil sharpener to put that fake mustache on every day. Yeah, sitting here with your raggedy-ass beard looking like some sort of woolly wammoth. Coming. Ah, see, I don't even know what I'm talking about. Too drunk.
Okay.
Why wow, you did a great job with me. Let's see how you do with that, Joe.
Natty's, you know, Natty's kids don't respect him. It's, I don't know what else. See, the problem is like you have to have truth in the roasting.
Hey guys, KP's never gonna get married because he's afraid he's never gonna get the ring on his fingers because they're too swollen.
See,
he ain't got sausages. He's got chorizo.
He's got rings under his eyes though.
Oh, look at that.
What about
guy?
Me? You got, you got nothing mean to say about me?
No, I respect you, Joe. Right.
Oh, I hate that he just did that. Oh, my God. I would have rather him call my mother a name. Don't you ever say you respect me again.
I respect Joe Carney a lot. And in the words of... nah, there's no way out of this one. No, guys, the roasting thing is weird.
Well, you're really not good at this, huh?
No, I'm not, because I like to go home and sit down and write things. And
you like to do research.
Behind
and
you'll get it, buddy.
Do you know how often I have to have Wikipedia up in order to finish a joke?
Wikipedia, if you're roasting people.
Yeah. God bless you, Natty. That
I
was
try, right?
Roast battling,
like
the guy's name,
tonight.
By the way, is Pedro Gonzalez.
Huh?
All right, Pedro Gonzalez, and it is he's actually brutal with the roasts. So this one I'm a little bit afraid of.
Really?
Uh-huh.
Pedro, you're afraid of Pedro Gonzalez.
It's also a...
Ondele.
It's also a main event.
Isn't that... Wait, what's Arriba, that mouse's name?
Speedy Gonzalez.
Speedy Gonzalez.
Good, yeah, I tried writing something about that.
There we are.
Wow.
I am scared. It's three rounds. I have to write 12 jokes total. So
ooh.
You remember the last time I had to do more than four jokes, Natty?
You did really well. Wow. You did really, really well.
Dog shit.
Let's see if I can keep it going.
Okay.
So my high school girlfriend's name was Claire, and every place I went, I used to take Claire.
Nope. I don't...
Take Claire.
Like, take care?
The Dumbfellas Podcast is a production of Garden State Comedy. Find us on Twitter at DumbfellasPod or on Facebook at www.facebook.com/Dumbfellas. The Dumbfellas are Big Rich from Jersey at MCD_Carney, KP Burke at KP Burke Sucks, Natty Bumpercar at Natty Bumpercar, Kevin Joseph Garifo at Kevin Garifo, and Joe Carney at Dumb Kid Joe. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to like, rate, subscribe, and share.